Before we do anything else, maybe let's pray together. God, we're thankful that you gather us together like this. We're thankful that here in a wet and cold evening, we're here and what we know is that you want to come with us here tonight. And so, Lord, we ask for you to come and show yourself to us. We ask that you would come speak to our hearts. We ask that your presence would be something that we can touch and feel and know that you're here dwelling with us. Because, Lord, it's not just about the words, but, Lord, we just want to know that you're here with us and we want to experience you and we want to touch you. And so, Lord, come spend this moment with us. We invite you here. Give us ears that will hear what you're trying to say. We pray this in Jesus' name. Okay. Thought maybe I should do a little bit more introduction of myself because I don't know if you guys caught everything that was on my sheets, right? But yeah, I'm Sam. I'm from Vancouver. The things that I wrote on my sheet were that if I were going to have a sport that I was going to play in the Olympics, maybe snowboarding. That's probably the sport that I'm best at. If I ever wanted to meet a famous person, I would want to meet somebody named John Mayer. Does anybody even know who John Mayer is? He's a singer. One person in the world knows who John Mayer is, which is a little disappointing because it's like, that just kind of means that, I don't know, maybe I'm getting
old.
Okay. But I did grow up in a Christian family, and I've been going to church pretty much as far as I can remember. We're from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We flew down here yesterday to spend the weekend with you guys. So that's just a little bit about us. And yes, that is my life. You guys are more than welcome to ask me questions. If you guys want to know more about me, feel free to write me down and just ask questions. Right? Don't feel shy. And that goes for questions that you have about me. It goes for questions that you might have about what we're talking about. Okay. Anything's for your game. Just come and ask. Tonight's icebreaker, I want to talk about it a little bit because I slid a question in there that actually I wrote, and it was important to me that we kind of talk about it. And that was that I wanted you guys to tell me who is a famous person that you want. So I heard some interesting names. Some of you guys said Denzel Washington, who we heard about earlier in the day with Dave. Some people said Steph Curry. That was another name that I remember. Somebody said Ariana Grande. Who's the Ariana Grande? Okay, you're a big Ariana Grande fan. Who said Steph? Because there was like more than one person that really wanted to be friends with Steph. Okay. Actually, Steph is like... just the older guys want to meet Steph. Okay. Okay. But here's the interesting thing about this, and what I'm going to guess, okay? What I'm going to guess is that whoever it is the famous person that you wrote as the person that you would want to be friends with, you guys probably know a decent amount about them, right? I don't know if you guys have, like, I don't know, if there's something that I wanted to know something about, I would spend some time reading it over the Wikipedia page, but I don't even know if anybody does that. Maybe what you guys do is you guys spend time on their Instagram. You guys probably follow them on Instagram. You guys maybe follow them on TikTok, wherever it is that you guys are interested in knowing about. Maybe you're subscribed to their YouTube channel if the person that you want to meet is a YouTube person. But you probably know a decent amount about the person that you want to meet. But the question wasn't simply just who's the person that you want to meet, who's the famous person that you want to meet. What we were saying is, who's the famous person that you want to be friends with? It's like levels to this thing, right? It's like you can know everything that is to know about somebody's Wikipedia page, and you know everything about Ariana Grande or Steph. Like, how many? Steph just broke the record for how many, what? What was it? He just broke the record. Okay, alright. There's levels to this thing, right? Maybe some people know everything there is to know about Steph, and then maybe you get to meet the person in real life one day, and you're like, okay, well, this is like the next level, right? I get to shake hands with John Mayer one day, maybe, I'm not sure. But then, to actually be friends with that person is a different layer, right?
There's layers to this kind of thing. And the thing about that that I wanted to make sure that we understood tonight is the same thing applies to our relationship with God. And the same thing applies to our relationship with Jesus. Okay, we did this earlier in the day, but I was sitting in the back and I didn't get to see everybody's hands. But like, can we do this? And when you guys are going to give your hands up, can you guys like do like way up high so I can actually see? How many of you guys grew up in a Christian family? Way up high. Okay, that's like pretty much the majority of everybody. Okay, hands down, thank you. How many of you guys would say that you regularly go to Sunday school? Like, you don't go every week maybe, but like most weeks you're in Sunday school? Okay, way up high. Well, past your head. Okay. That's like most of us, right? Okay, and certainly you guys are here. You guys are here on a weekend when it's like holidays to be here at a Christian conference. What I'm going to guess, and I'm pretty confident I got this right, is that probably for a lot of you guys have heard a lot of things about God. You guys have probably heard a lot of things about Jesus. And you guys probably heard it from a lot of different people. Maybe you've heard from your parents who are Christians. How many, because most of you guys said you guys are from a Christian family. So maybe you guys heard it from your parents. Maybe you've heard it from your Sunday school teachers. And maybe you've heard it from guys like Dave, right, who are like at these conferences and speaking to you guys. And so there's a good chance that you guys know a lot about Jesus and a lot about God, and you've heard plenty of that. But what we want to say is there's levels. Right? Because just knowing or hearing a lot about Jesus or God is not the same as actually knowing Him. Right? It's not the same. It's actually worlds apart. Because there are plenty of people, I shouldn't say plenty of people, but there exist people who have taken the Bible and they've studied, they've read it cover to cover, they know everything about God's Wikipedia page, which is the Bible. Right? And they're like, but do they actually know God? Do they have a relationship with Him? And that's the important thing that I want for you guys to have this evening. Right? If you guys take nothing away from anything that I say, the key thing that I want to get across to you guys tonight is that God is interested in a relationship with you guys that is not just, hey, I heard something about this guy. He's interested in a relationship that's real with you guys, where you guys know him, where he just wants to be known by you, because he loves you so much. Right? He loves you guys. And he's interested in actually having a relationship with you guys real. So it's not enough. If I say it this way, it's not enough that your parents know everything there is about Jesus. It's not enough that your parents know God, know Jesus. But for you, it's not enough. It's not enough of how much you've heard about Him. It's not how much you know Him for yourself.
Okay. Just know that.
If you guys don't take anything else away, if you guys are like, that's all the concentration that you're going to be able to give me, just know that He wants to have a real relationship with you. He wants to know you. He wants to be known by you. And that's totally available to every single one of you. It's totally available. He's not a distant God.
If you cry out to Him and you say, Lord, I want to know who you are. I want to meet you. I want to know you for real.
It's totally available. But if I stop there, then we
probably had too short of talk, and we probably might get a little bit.
So I'm going to give you guys a little bit more.
I'm going to show you through the Bible, in hopefully a pretty tangible way, why it is that we know God desires so much to have a real relationship.
Because He made it so clear, He made it so plain. It's not ambiguous. It's not something you have to guess about. It's not like, maybe He does. It's like, for real, He does.
And we're going to show it to you guys by digging into the Bible. And the way that we're going to do this is The way we're going to do this is, bear with me, stick with me. The way we're going to do this is, I need help. I need, in the midst of you guys, to tell me, to find who has the biggest hand. Out of you guys. You guys get up. Whoever you think has the biggest hand, you guys come and you guys compare hand sizes to each other. Who's got the biggest hand? Who thinks they have the biggest hand? Who's got the biggest hand? Who's got the biggest hand? Okay, does Pierce have the biggest hand? Elliot, all right, come up here. You can compare hand sizes with me. We can see how big your hand is. Okay, I have a bigger hand than you. I told you. Okay, Toby. Toby, you got a pretty big hand. Okay, we're gonna choose Toby. Toby, come up here. I'm gonna borrow you, Toby. Don't worry, this isn't... It's not going to be really hard. I just need a hand model, okay? So all I need for you to do is I need for you to do this, okay? All right, so that everybody sees your hand, okay? And I need you to hold it here tight, okay? Don't let it droop, all right? Fingers together. Fingers together. You good? You good? You sure you good? Okay. So I'm Canadian, right? I'm Canadian, so the way that I measure things is I use the metric. Okay. I measure things in centimeters and meters, which is how most of the world measures distance. You guys are mostly Americans, and you guys use these weird things called inches and feet.
No meters.
Millimeters. So, different ways to measure distance, but, Toby, hand up, in the Old Testament times, in the Old Testament times, there was a unit of measuring distance. That is the distance between this part of somebody's hand and this part of somebody's hand. Okay? The distance between this part and this part of your hand. This is a measure of, it's a measurement of distance in the Old Testament time. And we call this, they call it, hand breadth. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody give to read. We have a measurement in the Old Testament called the hand breadth. And the hand breadth, the distance between here and here, is, let's, for today's discussion, call it 4 inches. It's not really 4 inches, right? I don't think my hand is that big. Everybody's hand is different, so it's a little bit of a difficult unit of measurement because it's like, well, everybody's hand is different. But when I Googled hand breadth, what I got was it's about 4 inches. So maybe back in the day when they were using it, the hand breadth was the distance that was actually like for a bigger guy's hands. Maybe it was a guy that had pretty big hands, like he was like a construction worker, maybe he worked with like tools and rocks and whatever, built things. And so he's got a big hand and his hand breadth is about 4 inches. I need another volunteer. Okay, Higgin, show. I need you to be a volunteer. So, 4 inches, no, not even 4 inches, right? Like, not a very large distance, right? But, if I got 4 inches close to Higgin, I'm not even there yet, right? How you feeling, buddy? How you feeling? Okay. Not that comfortable, right? You're feeling a little bit like, I gotta respect your personal space, right? I'm a little bit too close to you right now, and so you can have a seat. So you can already see, it's like, okay, well, that hand breadth is four, let's call it 4 inches, and not a very big distance at all. But if you were to say that the distance you have between two people, this is a pretty short distance, right? You're not gonna want somebody unless you really know that person. Be like a hand spread distance. But even though if you kind of say like, okay, between two people a hand breadth is a pretty short distance, I'm going to tell you that in one specific situation, the hand breadth, the 4 inches, was an astronomical distance between two. And the reason I can say that is, well, I have to do a little bit of explaining. And in order for me to explain this, we got to go dig deep into the Old Testament, and we got to look at, actually, the temple in the Old Testament. Okay. The temple in the Old Testament, so there's actually two temples in the Old Testament. There was also a tabernacle. Those details don't matter too much, but all we about the temple is kind of how it was kind of laid out, how it was kind of built. And the temple, it was built this way, where there was a big area called the outer courts, and basically pretty much everybody, with a little bit of an exception, pretty much everybody is allowed in the outer courts. Okay? It's like big wide area. Dave was talking about sacrifices this morning, right? Sacrifices in the temple happened in the outer courts, okay? And then, within the outer courts, there is a smaller tent area within the temple, okay? And the smaller tent area is called the holy place. Now, in the holy place, not everybody is allowed to be in there, okay? Only priests were allowed to be in the holy place. But then, within the holy place, there is one smaller area, and this is the most central portion of the temple. And the most central portion of the temple is called the Holy of Holies. Okay. That's the part where the presence of God was. That's where God dwelt. Okay. And the way that the Holy of Holies was constructed is, Elliot, because if you stand up, how tall are you?
5'8".
You're 5'8". We're going to round up and give him a few inches. We're going to say and pretend that Elliot is about 6 feet, okay? Great for a basketball player, because I know you want to be one. So we're going to give you 4 extra inches today, number 10. So the way that the Holy of Holies is built, like how it's described to us, is that the Holy of Holies is kind of like a cube. It's shaped like a cube. And it's 30 feet by 30 feet, okay? So Elliot, we're going to pretend he's 6 feet, or rounding. But we're going to pretend he's 6 feet, and we're going to say, okay, if you took Elliot and you cloned him, that's my math, right? 5 times, right? And you put Elliot down 1, 2, head to toe, you laid out 5 Elliots, right? That's how wide this Holy of Holies is. And then you take Elliot, clone him again, and you do another 5 Elliots, you do it the other way, 5, 5, 5. That's the size of this room, so you guys can kind of imagine how big this Holy of Holies is. And then the other dimension, how high, how tall the Holy of Holies is, same thing. 5 Elliots, 30 feet. So you take him, looks, that's tall, right? 5 Elliots tall. Okay, yes. 5 Elliots in every direction is the cube that is called the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God dwelt in it. Okay. And the way that it was built, right, is that 3 of the sides of the Holy of Holies had walls. So you can imagine 30 feet tall walls, 5 Elliot tall walls on 3 sides. And then the last side, the entrance, where you're going from the holy place into the Holy of Holies, where it's the entrance, there is a curtain that separates the entrance between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. That's the only way in and out. And the curtain is, yeah, the entrance. So this curtain separates the presence of God with the holy place, from the holy place. His presence is separated by this curtain. And this is where I have to tell you, the truth of the matter is, the Bible actually doesn't tell us enough to know this for sure. So I'm a little bit kind of bending the rules a little bit here. But, even though the Bible doesn't say this, what we know from Jewish writings, like traditional Jewish writings, and what people have written about it, is that the thickness of this curtain that is separating the presence of God from the rest of the world, Jewish traditional writings say that it was And so what you have here is you have a situation where God is in this cube. He's in this place. And the only thing that is separating God from the rest of us is the distance of a handbreadth. And nobody is allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. Almost nobody is allowed to go into the Holy of Holies, because that's where the presence of God is. And God, being a holy God, cannot deal with anything that is unholy. And so here's where we're going to pop up our first verse. says this.
The wages of sin is death.
And I'll talk a little bit about this. Nobody can go into the Holy of Holies because every person has sin. And God is not a God that can mix with unholy things.
Okay, we talked about this morning, right? Where somebody was asking you guys, is like, well, is there anybody who can raise a hand and say they don't have any sin? And everybody was like, I don't think so.
But sin is a little bit of an archery term. Where we got the word sin, this is a little bit of an aside, but where we got the word sin is actually an archery. Archery as in like bow and arrows, right? So if you're shooting bow and arrows and you miss the target, that missing the target, missing the mark, is where the word sin comes from. Right? So when we talk about sin, where that word comes from is like you're trying to hit the mark, but you miss. And what we're saying in the context of what sin is that is missing God's standard. And so Dave talked about it this morning. He was saying, okay, well, if we tell a lie,
even if it was a nice lie, because we tend to differentiate that, if it's a sin, we've missed the mark.
And so if you have sin, you cannot go into the Holy of Holies. You cannot mix something unholy with a holy God. Or else, what happens is this verse that we have here. The wages of sin is death. So when somebody who's sinful enters the Holy of Holies, what happens is they die. You can't have that mixture. So, the Holy of Holies, separated by a hand's breadth curtain, and nobody can enter in. Except one person, actually. There is one person that could actually enter into the Holy of Holies. Let me tell you about it a little bit quickly. The person that could actually go into the Holy of Holies is a person who is called the high priest. He's allowed to go in there once a year, and the way that it works for the high priest to be able to go into the Holy of Holies is he has to do a bunch of stuff. Two things, mainly, in order for him to be able to go. First, because he's the high priest, he represents all of Israel, so the first thing he has to do is he has to take a bull, and he has to put his hand on his head, like we talked about this morning, and say, all the sins of Israel, because I represent Israel right now, all the sins of Israel are put on this bowl, and it kills the bowl. And the death of that bowl covers that sin. The wages of sin is death, and something had to die. And so they kill the bull, and then the sins of Israel is taken care of, and then for himself, he has to take a goat. So he grabs a goat, he puts his hand on the head of the goat, and he says, okay, my sins are being placed on this goat, and we'll kill the goat, and that sacrifices for his sins. So two sacrifices. And then with that, once a year that they do this, he's allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. That's the deal. That is the kind of relationship that Israel had with the presence of God for many years. And I'll tell you one more thing that's just maybe a way for us to understand this. Which is that...
It's actually not in the Bible. I'm telling you guys a lot of things that maybe aren't in the Bible, right?
Like the hand read that's not in the Bible, but it helps us illustrate and understand this.
This next thing I'm going to tell you is also not in the Bible. It helps us understand and kind of visualize this.
There's like a tradition that people say happened. When you actually look into it, probably maybe it didn't happen. But what they would say is like, if as a high priest is doing this once a year, maybe what they would do is they would tie a rope around him, and they would tie bells onto the rope, so that when he goes to the Holy of Holies, if he messed up, right, we got the sacrifice wrong, or whatever, right, and he goes into this room, what happens if he dies? And so maybe they have the rope around him, so when the bells stop ringing, they're like, okay, I get it. He's not there anymore, so they have to pull him out, right? So it's like this idea, we don't think it actually happens. But that's the thing that is like, for us to understand what this is like. Okay? How the presence of God is in this cube, and it wasn't available for people to have insurance. Okay. So, that's what we're talking about. When we talk about this verse here, it was a
very real thing for the Israelite people. The wages of sin being death. Like, it was a tangible thing.
You couldn't mix a holy God with something unholy.
But we want to get into this verse just a tiny bit more, and we want to dig into it, because this verse is not just talking about a physical death.
This verse is actually talking about something a little bit more as well. It's talking about an eternal death as well. Okay? There's something about the eternal that's tied up in this verse. Because after we die, this 4 inches of separation that we see in the handbook, it still remains. It's not like it suddenly disappears. It's not like you die and suddenly you're allowed in the presence of God. And this is actually what we talk about when you die, you have a choice of either going to heaven or hell, right? Do you guys know what is the defining characteristic of hell? What is, like, when you think about hell, what is it actually like? What do you think about? Like, maybe, like you think about, like, fire. Okay, that's the defining characteristic of hell. Actually, the defining characteristic of hell is that is where God is not. And so when we say that there's death, it applies in eternity as well. Because if you die and you do not have a relationship with Jesus, and you don't have a relationship with God, you go to hell. And what that is that separation for all of time. That 4 inches still being there in the hand breath. Right.
Okay.
So that is why we say, okay, it was just 4 inches, but it's this distance that is so wide. Okay.
But
here's what's going on here. The situation that we painted is that there are two truths, two realities that are true at the same time. One of those realities is there's the 4 inches. There's sin and everything that the 4 inches represents. And then the other reality that we painted, that we started with, is God wants to have personal relationship with. And what we need to understand is, how are these things supposed to reconcile? Do you guys know what that word means? How are these things supposed to exist at the same time? How are these things supposed to mix? How are these things, if they're opposites and things that cannot mix, how are they supposed to work together? Right? You have the problem of sin, and then you have Jesus and God wanting to have a relationship. And this is where it gets important. Because what happens is, God loves you. And He makes the first move. And He says, I want to be close to my people. I want to be close to those I love. And the sin is in the way. So I'm going to make the first move. And I'm going to send Jesus. And I think all of you know the story, right? They arrest Jesus and they lead him up the hill and they take him to the cross. And at that moment, what God is doing is He's saying, all the sins of mankind, everything that is represented by those 4 inches of distance, He places on Jesus in the same way that when you place your hand on the head of that animal, so you're taking your sins and placing it on that animal. God has taken the sins of the world and placed it on Jesus. And Jesus gets nailed on the cross. And Jesus dies. The Son of God dies. Because when there's sin, there's the penalty of death. And so something had to die. And so Jesus chooses to die. But you guys know this.
but something that I want you guys to see that the Bible talks about is the next verse. Go 2 slides forward.
This is what happens in the temple the moment that Jesus dies. This is what the Bible said happens.
He says, Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last.
So this is the moment that Jesus dies. And that what happens in the temple at that moment is
the veil, this curtain, this 4 inches,
the veil of the temple was torn into from top to bottom. And you guys have to remember,
the veil, as far as I can tell, is
5 ellions tall. And so when we think about the veil being torn from top to bottom, if it was a person who tore the veil in two, it would be something that would be done from bottom to top.
You need to be really tall and have a ladder.
You need to be really tall and have a ladder. 30 feet.
But if the Bible doesn't describe it that way.
It's not like a person went to the bottom of the veil and decided that he was going to tear it from bottom to top. It was something that was done from top to bottom, which means that our God was the one who tore the veil from top to bottom. Because the moment that Jesus died on that cross, God looked on Jesus and he said, you know what? Jesus has paid the price for these sins. We don't need the veil anymore. That separation that exists between me and people, it doesn't have to be there anymore because Jesus is that. And so we can do away with this veil. Let's tear it from top to bottom. And that's what happens in
the temple. And so, what happens
next? We know what happens next. Jesus, he rises
from the dead,
and then he rises to heaven. And for any person who decides that they want to accept Jesus as their Savior, that exchange happens, right? Where if we accept Jesus as our Savior, it's as if we have gone up to Jesus and we put our hand on his head and we said, Lord, I know you are the Son of God. I know who you are. I know what you've done for me. And I'm going to put my hand on your head and my sins are going to be on you. And they lead him to the slaughter. He dies for our sins. And immediately what happens in our life is the veil that's in our life gets torn in two. And we no longer have that 4 inches of distance between us and God. And that relationship can happen. That relationship is ours to have. The way it has been made over.
And so today, what I wanted you guys to know, what I wanted to tell you guys,
is just that. That God wants to have a personal relationship. And he showed you that when you look at what is written in the Bible. Jesus came and died for our sins. And that in God's heart he's having satisfied. And tears the veil in two. And there is now nothing that can be in between us and God if we've accepted Jesus for us.
And so
this is where it becomes important to circle back to the very beginning. We're almost done. Circle back to the very beginning, and we want you to say, this is something for you. Okay. Now, there's going to be some of you guys who are sitting here, and everything that I told you tonight is something that you already know, and something that you've already made your own. For some of you guys, what I mean by that is for some of you guys have already accepted Jesus as your Savior. Okay? And if that's your situation and you have no doubts about that, you're like, I've accepted Jesus, he's my Savior, I know that. That's awesome. What I have to say for you, to the person who's in that situation where you've accepted Jesus already, what I have to say to you is, it's so awesome that you have a relationship with God. Know that there is no distance between you
Sometimes it feels that way. Sometimes it feels like there's something separating. Sometimes it feels like there's something in between. But you know, every time there is feelings of sin getting in the way or whatever, you claim the blood of Christ. And your way into the Holy Holy Spirit. Just know that you have access to our God. And you have a relationship with Jesus. You've accepted Him as your Savior. But here's the other thing I want to say to you, if that is the situation. The other thing I want to say to you is that accepting Jesus as your Savior is the first step in a lifelong journey to know Him. And it actually is very possible for you to accept Jesus as your Savior and not grow in that relationship, not get to know Him. And you're still stuck on reading with the people. Okay? Like, you can very much be in that situation. But God is inviting you into a real living relationship with Him, experiencing, grow deeper in Him. And so if that's your situation, I would love for you to take that to heart and say, okay, I want to know God. And we're going to have opportunity to do that, to know Him a little bit more, hopefully, with students together. For some of you, I wonder, because this was my case, and the reason I like to do this is because this was my situation. For some of you, I wonder if it's true that you're not entirely sure whether you're saved. You have a little bit of doubt. You're like, I think I am. Like, I've heard about Jesus. I think I believe in Him. Like, but I don't really know if I'm saved. I don't know if that's anybody's situation. For if that is your situation, what I want to say to you is you do not have to live in doubt. You do not have to be not sure. There is no world where you need to live like that. If you want to have Jesus as your Savior, and like, I believe, I want to have, I'm like not entirely sure if I have accepted Him, but I want to, and you don't have to do it. Okay? Now, I want to be careful. Because if you are sure, don't let me make you unsure. Like, if you're sure, you're sure. This is just for the people who are like, I'm actually not sure. Right? And if you're not sure, okay, tonight, you can be sure. We can talk about it. We can pray with you. Okay? And you can be completely sure that you're saved. And then you can have this, and because you don't want to have any doubt in that. Like in your relationship with God and your relationship with Jesus, you don't have any doubt that it's like, oh, what happened? I mean, can I even have a relationship? Am I even saved? Like, you don't want that. You don't have that. So if you're in that situation tonight, I want you to be sure. And then, this last category of person. The last category of person is maybe there's somebody here who actually has never accepted Jesus. And if you never accepted Jesus as your Savior, then everything that we talked about, the torn veil, the forgiveness of your sins so that you can go within the veil, right, and have that relationship with God. Like, if you never accepted Jesus as your Savior, that doesn't apply. Even though it's true that when Jesus died, the veil was torn. But if it doesn't apply to you, it doesn't apply to you. Unless you've accepted Jesus, of God's gift, which is His Son Jesus. And so, if there's anybody here that is in that situation, okay, and in your heart you want to have Jesus as your Savior, that can happen tonight too. You don't have to wait until tomorrow. You can make that happen tonight. And the reason we can is because Jesus has given Himself to you. Jesus loves you. God loves you. And He wants there to be no distance at all between us. Right? He wants that real relationship with you. And it starts when you accept Jesus as your Savior. So you can have that. Okay. So what we're going to do, I'm going to ask you guys, if you're
in middle school. I'm going to ask you guys to close your eyes, okay? Right, if you're in middle school, I'm going to ask you guys to close your eyes, every single one of you, because this, like we've been saying, has nothing to do with the person next to you. It has nothing to do with your parents. Your parents can be conference speakers. And that doesn't mean that you have Jesus as your own Savior. And it doesn't mean you have a relationship with God. That's what we're talking about tonight, right? We're talking about you, for yourself, having that real relationship with God. Right? So everybody's eyes closed. And what we're going to do here is just totally between you and God. I'm watching. It's true. But the indication is something from your heart to God himself. Okay? And I want, if you guys are willing to do this with me, I would like for some, if you know, I suppose this, if you know without a shadow of doubt in your heart that you have accepted Jesus as your Savior and you are his, can you raise your hand? No doubt. You're like, I know. And can you raise it high, like above your head? We don't want to do these short kind of things so that it's just clear. Okay. If you know without a shadow of doubt. Okay, you can put your hands down. Now, for those people who have raised their hands for that first question, this is a different question for you. This question is, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, but in your heart, what you're saying to him is, God, I want to know you more. I want to go on that journey with you, and I want to know who you are in a personal, intimate way. It's not enough that I know things about you. I don't want to just read Wikipedia. Like, I want to know you, right, in a deep, intimate way. Can you raise your hand? Because this is just between you and God. It's just you saying to him, you know what, God, I want that. I want that. And you're just telling him by raising your hand and you're saying, yes, God, I want for you to know. I want to know you more. Okay. All right. You can put your hand. Thanks. The next thing we're going to do is this is for that person who is like not sure. You're like not entirely sure. Right? You're like, I think I've accepted Jesus, but I'm not sure. Maybe I have, maybe I haven't. But I want to. I want to have Jesus as my Savior. I want to be sure. If that's your situation. Oh, and by the way, if you raise your hand for the first two, don't be embarrassed to raise your hand for this one. Even though you said you're sure and you're like, actually, now I think that I'm not entirely sure and you want to raise your hand, like, don't feel embarrassed to do that. If you're not sure, can you raise your hand and raise it high? And so you're not sure, but you're like, I want Jesus as my Savior. I don't want there to be anything between me. Raise your hand up high. Higher so that I can see. Sorry, one more time. Just raise your hand really high so that you can see, right? Okay. You can put your hands down. And this is the last question I have for you guys. Right? The last question I have for you guys is... if you never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you're like, you know what? I want Jesus as my Savior. It's not even that I'm not sure, it's just I never did. I know I never did, but I want to. Right? If that is your situation, do you think you can raise your hand? Okay. Here's what we're going to do. Let's pray again. Okay. God, we thank you for a time that we can be together like this. We thank you that you want to make yourself known.
to every single one of us, and we want to have that personal relationship with every single one of us.
And Lord, you see these hearts, you see the hands, and you understand what they mean. And there are those who have accepted you as their Savior, accepted Jesus as their Savior, and they're saying in their hearts, oh, how I wish that I would know you personally, I would know who you are. You see those hands. God, we thank you for those hands. We pray that for everybody, you would make yourself known to them. You would teach us how it is that we walk with you and have that relationship with you, and that we understand you more and know you more. We pray that I would do that and you see the hearts. And Lord, we also see that, and you also see, that there are hands of those who are just not quite sure, not entirely sure as to whether or not we've accepted or if they've accepted you. And Lord, for these hands, Lord, you know their hearts. And we pray that even tonight, as we have more chances to shine and more chances to fall, that Lord, you will make it clear to them that they can accept you as your Savior. So we can give you all of these hearts here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Okay, we have a little bit of time, so what we're going to do is this, okay? We got some snacks in there, okay? We're going to dismiss you guys for snacks, okay? But there's some of you who had indicated that you're, like, not entirely sure if you've accepted Jesus as Savior, but, like, you want to, right? And so if that's your situation, while people are grabbing snacks, you can go quickly grab your own snack as well. But then afterwards, okay, we ask that you guys come up to the front here and you guys talk to us, okay? Where I know we're going to keep you guys probably a little bit in the least as a result of that, but I don't think your parents are going to, okay? So what I would like for you guys to do, quickly go grab your snacks, and then if you want to come talk to us and you want to say, I want to be more sure, come talk to us and we can have some conversation. And for the discussion group leaders, can you guys come up with a song so we can party you guys all?